produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in to the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Day here, and it's Activism Day again on the Audio Stash, kicking off your week with great ways to get involved. We'll start off today with an extended breaking news report on the recent Michigan Supreme Court ruling. Then we'll hear our segment on marijuana and MySpace, today talking about our own little podcast profile. Also, we have a report from Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre. This is important information, folks, straight from the source, on exactly who supports prohibition in this country. Reformers Calendar Today takes a look ahead at this summer's marijuana events. Music on the program today features the Fred Jones Band from the Hempilation 2 album. Normal's Audio Stash bringing you great tunes every day. Karen Molliver brings us a chapter profile, and we'll wrap things up with comedy from podshow.com. All here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, an extended breaking news report. Our news today, an extended report about the Supreme Court ruling in Michigan. Michigan Supreme Court upholds zero tolerance per se DUID law from Traverse City, Michigan. The Michigan Supreme Court ruled 4-3 last week that the state's zero tolerance per se DUID or driving under the influence of drugs law is constitutional, even if the statute might apply to drivers who are not under the influence of illegal substances. The majority held also that motorists could be prosecuted under the state's DUID law for having detectable levels of non-psychoactive cannabis metabolites in their blood, even though the presence of such metabolites is not associated with driver impairment and they are not defined under the statute as an illicit substance. The ruling reverses a prior appellate court ruling that determined that the state had to demonstrate that the presence of a controlled substance in a driver's body was the proximate cause of an accident to move forward with a DUID prosecution. Michigan's DUID law, quote, does not require driver intoxication, impairment, or knowledge that one might be intoxicated. It simply requires that the person have any amount of a Schedule I substance in his or her body when operating a motor vehicle, close quote, the court opined. They continued, quote, it is irrelevant that an ordinary marijuana smoker does not know that cannabis metabolites could last in his or her body for weeks. That the statute might apply to some persons who are not actually under the influence of marijuana does not render the statute unconstitutional.
The court interpreted the intent of the legislature is to truly use the privilege of driving as another club in the war on drugs.
That was Tim Beck, director of Michigan Normal. Writing for the dissent in the case, Judge Michael Kavanaugh opined, quote, today's holding now makes criminals out of numerous Michigan citizens who before today were considered law-abiding, productive members of our community. Now, if a person has ever actively or passively ingested marijuana and drives, he is unknowingly breaking the law, because any amount of cannabis metabolites can be detected, no matter when the marijuana was previously ingested, he is committing a crime. The majority's interpretation, which has no rational relationship to the legislature's genuine concerns about operating a motor vehicle while impaired, violates the United States Constitution and the Michigan Constitution, close quote. We asked Tim Beck about this dissent.
You know, as far as the Michigan Constitution is concerned, unfortunately, the Michigan Constitution, their ruling, I guess it's it. There's almost no recourse, because if you sue in state court, it's going to go back to those very same justices. So, and we know how they're going to rule. So, you know, the state argument is irrelevant. However, there are, the ACLU of Michigan is digging very deeply into this, and they believe that this is contrary to the United States Constitution, and they are planning to litigate this. This is not dead. This is not over with, and they expect the ACLU will be in federal court in the not-too-distant future to take this on.
Again, that was Tim Beck, director of Michigan Normal. Michigan is one of the 13 states that have enacted either per se or zero tolerance per se DUID laws, making it a criminal offense to operate a motor vehicle with trace levels of illicit drugs and or drug metabolites in a driver's blood, saliva, or urine. Links to Michigan Normal and more about this case on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash on this Monday. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Hope everyone had a great summer weekend out there. We've assembled another spectacular audio magazine for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit norml.org. Let's get to our first segment today, Marijuana and MySpace. Welcome to Marijuana and MySpace, Part 3. Today, we'll look at the Normal podcasting profile. We've got our own little profile for the Normal podcast, which we're tricking out a bit as we speak. Normal podcasting has been on MySpace for about 6 months now at myspace.com/normlpodcast. We upload each week's Normal News MP3 as well as our weekly Voices of Reform special. So you can visit the profile to hear some of the latest MP3s. We even let you download them right from the MySpace profile. One of the coolest things about having the profile on MySpace has been the response from everyone out there, including some fellow podcasters. Adam Curry, the guy who invented the art of podcasting and the host of one of the most popular podcasts in the world, The Daily Source Code, has us in his top friends list in the Daily Source Code MySpace fan site. Adam is one of the best-known radio DJs on the planet. He was one of the first MTV VJs and is hands down bowed to the altar of God of podcasting. It is just too damn cool to know that we have caught his eye with our audio digital activism, advocating for marijuana law reform in America. So a huge thanks to Adam, and all of us here at Normal Podcast bow to you, Adam, the creator of our own broadcast medium. Got a ton of feedback, emails, and comments from the MySpace profile from all of you MySpacers out there. Here's a few of the comments posted recently up there. The voice of reform is getting stronger. I like that one. Also, this next one. I like all that you do. That was from the Girls Gone Weed profile. Thank you, girls. Next up, thanks go out to Normal Podcast for helping spread the word. And finally, it's like Bill Hicks says, making marijuana against the law is like saying God made a mistake. Close quote. Too true. Good luck with the campaign. Plus, we got a ton of really freaking awesome graphics and photos up there. The feedback has been nothing but overwhelmingly positive. Thanks again out there to everyone who's been up on MySpace visiting the podcast profile. Keep those comments coming, folks. Podcast profile on MySpace, a happening place with the latest MP3s of Normal News and the Voices of Reform, can be found at myspace.com/normalpodcast. Hope to see all you MySpacers up there soon. Next week, we'll talk about what's going on in the Normal News MySpace group. See y'all online. podcast profile or up at normalaudios-.com. Now let's get to Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre with this important report. Listen up here today, folks. Alan is going to tell us who really supports marijuana prohibition in America. And the best way to win an issue is to know your opposition.
The burning question. Who today supports marijuana prohibition? This is the number one question submitted to Normal's popular webpage. Answer: no single individual within the U.S. government bureaucracy or any private entity is responsible for America's misguided war on marijuana. Rather, it's a complicated, well-funded, and self-interested anti-cannabis cabal. To make a long story short, those who most strongly support and benefit from the status quo, and in many instances seek to enhance it, include federal and state government bureaucracies that are nearly wholly dependent on cannabis prohibition, namely the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, ONDCP, Office of National Drug Control Policy, NIDA, National Institute on Drug Abuse, and the many anti-marijuana divisions within the national security apparatus, including DHS, Department of Homeland Security, DOJ, Department of Justice, FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigations, DOS, Department of State, DOD, the Department of Defense, HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, FDA, Food and Drug Administration, of course, as well as U.S. Customs. Law enforcement personnel, from local sheriffs to the U.S. Attorney General, who aggressively lobby against marijuana law reform, both as employees of the government and as private citizens. On the other hand, Normal has been working with law enforcement against prohibition. LEAP, L-E-A-P dot C-C, helping them persuade their strongly prohibitionist-leaning brethren, both active and retired, to speak out for needed marijuana law reforms. Industries that benefit from and actively support cannabis prohibition include alcohol and tobacco companies, the pharmaceuticals industry, the healthcare, life insurance, and drug testing industries, and defense contractors who lobby for expensive high-tech marijuana law enforcement budgets to win the war on some drugs. Government-funded so-called parents groups and other front groups against marijuana and marijuana law reform, including National Families in Action, reached on the web at nationalfamilies.org, Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, reached at CADCA, CADCA.org, and the taxpayer-funded Drug Czar's Free Vibe, freevibe.com. Government-funded so-called education program campaigns such as the Partnership for a Drug-Free America and the Drug Awareness Resistance Education Program, otherwise known as DARE, uninformed, biased, and/or grandstanding politicians seeking headlines, re-election, lobbyist dollars, or protection for government spending programs. Currently, according to polling done by Normal, only 20% of the U.S. population is strongly and/or morally opposed to marijuana use and will not in any way support any substantive reforms in marijuana laws. Daunting as all this opposition may seem, marijuana laws clearly need serious and immediate reform, and in time, reason, science, adherence to the U.S. Constitution, free market principles, and good policymaking will lead the way out from the darkness of nearly 70 years of marijuana prohibition. One of the most important and difficult endeavors for groups like Normal involves encouraging stakeholders, like the individuals listening to this very podcast, to get involved in their own liberation. Why wait? There are over 130 Normal chapters in the United States. Please join the one nearest you. And if there is no Normal chapter in your area, you can always start one. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. thanks to Alan for that report. We'll hear from Normal's DC staff and board of directors frequently here on the program. Truthful marijuana information straight from the source here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Next up, let's take a look ahead at the 4th of July hemp rally in Washington, D.C., with its organizer on the Reformers calendar. Calendar, we're looking at an event in our nation's capital. John Pilko is the organizer of the 4th of July hemp rally. Welcome to the program today, John.
Pleasure to be here.
Tell us about what's going to happen in our nation's capital on the most patriotic of days, the 4th of July.
Well, it's the 37th annual Smoke-In, which is a rally, march, and concert held in our nation's capital every year on the 4th of July to protest marijuana prohibition. Well, what happens? The concert is the finale of the demonstration, but it begins with a rally, a very political rally, in front of the White House at high noon. Speakers from around the country and sometimes around the world come, and usually they're frontline activists in the war on drugs, and they give their analysis and opinions about the direction of the drug policy reform movement, and specifically about changing the marijuana laws in the United States.
Now, what's the reception to this event been in Washington over the years?
It goes up and down. You know, the smoking's been going on for 37 years. It's gone through a lot of changes over that period of time. It's had some good times and it's had some lean times. Right now, it's kind of a lean time for attendance for the demonstration. After 9/11, because of security concerns, it's just made it harder to get people down there and go through the security checkpoint that they now have to go through to attend the concert. They don't have to go through the security checkpoint to go to the rally in front of the White House, but when they get down to the mall where everybody gathers to watch the fireworks, they do have to go through a security checkpoint. And that's diminished the amount of people that want to come to the demonstration. And also, just after 9/11, it was harder to get people to come down in general. It's a Republican administration in office now. That affects things slightly. It was like this during the Reagan years. It's been going. It's surviving, and it's a very important political tool for us to keep exercising, I think.
Now, John, what will people see at the march and rally on the 4th of July?
Well, like I said, it starts with a rally in front of Lafayette Park, which is pretty political. I mean, you got to stand up there in front of the White House, you know. You're like a little individual person standing in front of the power to be, you know. Just doing that shows that you have guts and conviction to go do that. I mean, that really puts it on the line. And I really appreciate people who come out to that part of the demonstration. Then we have a parade from the White House that starts at 3 p.m. and goes down past the Drug Czar's office, down 17th Street to Constitution Avenue, where the march has to go through a security checkpoint to make it all the way down to where our stage is at 23rd and Constitution Avenue. So we make a right-hand turn on Constitution Avenue, going through the checkpoint. We go down to 23rd Street, and we have a stage set up there in one of the ball fields. That's where the bands play. That starts at about, it starts earlier than when the march arrives. It starts at 2 p.m. The march gets there, so a little bit, or like usually right about 4:20. Takes an hour, maybe a little longer to make the march. It's a little more than a mile. This year we have a great crew of bands. They've been volunteering all year long to get the word out. And there are local areas around Washington, D.C., where they're from. We're fortunate to have them spread out in different areas around the city, so they've been doing really well at getting outreach done for us this year without us having to spend a lot of money or time doing it ourselves. That's the real advantage of having working with us. They're like our outreach tool. They're like a little cell, if you want to call it that, of people. But wherever they are, they're not just one person being motivated. They're like a group of like five people. They're really motivated and working together. And, you know, you take one person's motivation and multiply that times five, and it just makes it even stronger.
John Pilko, thanks for speaking with us today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and have a great time out there on the 4th.
Thank you, Chris.
The keynote speaker at the rally will be the author of the new book, The Burning Rainbow Farm, Dean Kuypers. More information about the event can be found at www.smoke-in.org. And we've got links on our website, normalaudio-com. John, for putting together that great event. Pack your bags, folks. Get involved and have a great time this summer, ending marijuana prohibition in this country. That D.C. event is one of the few on the East Coast, save for the Boston Hemp Fest and the New York City Hemp Rallies. Very cool, I hear, and some great fireworks, too. Next up, folks, some stash music from the Hempilation 2 album. This track, Light Up or Leave Me Alone, from the Freddie Jones Band. Band from the Hempilation 2 album. We'll have more of the best musical talent from Hempilation 1 and 2 here on the program, and we're just getting access to some supremely funny pot comedy. And just last week, another headline band contacted us, wants to make some special songs for the podcast, so listen up. More about that one next week. We'll also feature PodSafe independent artists and some comedy found at podshow.com later on. Now it's time for our weekly look at a local Normal chapter with Normal's outreach coordinator, Karen Mallover. Normal's outreach coordinator in Washington, D.C. Karen, welcome back here to the Audio Stash. Which Normal chapter are we looking at today?
Today we are profiling one of our most active and extensive chapters, Michigan Normal.
And tell us a little bit about how they got started and what they're up to. I know Michigan is a very active Normal group.
They absolutely are. Now, they only started about 5 years ago in 2001 out of their home base in Detroit, run by Tim Beck, who is really an amazing activist, if you can imagine a white Republican working out of Detroit for marijuana law reform, and that's Tim Beck. How unique is that? But in 5 years, he managed to spread his chapter to 8 other counties and the University of Michigan. So they now have 9 local chapters working in Michigan. They've run 4 successful initiatives in the last 4 years that has brought medical marijuana to Ferndale, Traverse City, Ann Arbor, and Detroit, and all of those initiatives won with over 60% of the vote.
And they've been very successful in municipal actions up there. Do you think this will help out a statewide initiative?
Yes, the House Bill 5470 is also the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act that is currently held up in the committee, but it had recently passed back in February. They're expecting, I believe, next session to push it a little bit farther. But outside of the state legislature, their initiative process has been going remarkably well. And I think that always just goes to show individual people, individual citizens in America, they really are for this issue. It's the politicians are the ones that are, I don't know, perhaps too afraid to appear to be soft on drugs, but whatever the issue, it's the politicians that we really need to convince to get on board with the rest of Americans.
Now, Karen, some may be surprised that Normal is so successful in Michigan.
Yes, absolutely. And it certainly helps, too, that a state like Michigan has the initiative process. There's only 26 states in the country that allow the initiative process. That means basically that individual citizens can collect signatures to have an initiative put on the ballot that everybody in the state can then vote for, or in the local city, as the case in Michigan. And in those states is where we tend to see the most reform, most progressive reform, again, because it's the voice of the people, whereas around here in Virginia, say we're close to where I am by Washington, D.C., that isn't an option, and we have to rely entirely on the state legislature, which is obviously dragging their feet.
And that campus involvement, we've talked about this before, but that campus involvement in Michigan has been very important to Normal, especially in places like Ann Arbor. But in states with big schools that get behind Normal, I mean, do you think that students can help move forward something statewide?
Oh, absolutely. Ann Arbor is a college town, and we've noticed some of the most progressive change in the area of marijuana law reform across the country has occurred in college towns. And I think that's because, one, young people are, they're more active, they tend to be more politically active, they're more conscientious and compassionate, and they have more time on their hands. But, you know, also, I'm not that far removed from college, and I can remember with me and my friends, we could smoke marijuana responsibly and still graduate at the top of our class from excellent schools, just so, like so many other young people across America. So it's so laughable for us to hear the government telling us that it kills brain cells and causes schizophrenia and all these ridiculous things, because we know firsthand, young people know firsthand, or anybody that uses marijuana, that that's just not the case. That's ridiculous. So, yeah, you have a town like Ann Arbor that's populated by so many college kids, and you're going to see change happen a lot faster in those kind of areas.
Karen, thanks again for joining us here today.
And also go to www.minormal.org, and you can help support the group by buying a copy of Burning Rainbow Farm by Dean Kuipers. If you haven't heard about it yet, it's an incredible story.
Karen brings us a chapter profile every Monday here at Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Links to Michigan Normal and all of our profiled Normal chapters and the page where you can find every Normal chapter in America are up at our website, normalaudiostash.com. Now we'll wrap up our Monday show with some comedy from podshow.com. Everyone needs a good laugh on Monday.
Peter Radio Theater presents Holmes in 30 Seconds. Tonight's episode, The Case of the Six Napoleons. And go.
Why do you bother me with these easy cases? You try and figure out who's smashing the statues, Watson.
Okay. It's some sort of anti-Napoleonic monomaniac.
Watson, you've proven yourself an idiot.
So it would appear.
The man we're looking for is an Italian. He's a sculptor, and his name is Beppo.
How the deuce did you suss that?
Oh, from a mustard stain on your trousers.
Gads, that's sharp!
Now, hand me that Napoleon statue, won't you?
By Jove, the famous black pearl! Beppo hid it in the statue! Holmes? Holmes, we found the pearl. You can stop smashing the statues.
I know, I've gone mad. Ha!
Time.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to John Pilka, Tim Beck, Karen Mallover, and Alan St. Pierre for contributions to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.